The collect of the day for the fifth Sunday of Easter asks God to allow us to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, so that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. But what are these steps? What is the way? Or as Thomas asks Jesus in that famous passage from John 14, but we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Now, we all know that in our lives of faith, as in other aspects of our lives, there are many occasions when we lack certainty. That's why it's called faith and not certainty, right? We can recall that wonderful passage from Hebrews that attempts to define faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is that connecting power into the spiritual realm, which links us with God and makes God become a tangible reality to the sense perceptions of a person. Faith, when you think about it, is the basic ingredient to begin a relationship with God. So, with that understanding, how can we begin to discern those steps Jesus talks about to follow in his way? Well, the disciple Philip this morning provides us with a good example in our lesson from Acts that Otis just read. In fact, Philip gives us three good examples of how to follow in Jesus' steps. Now, it's not like Philip is sitting around waiting for a message from God. From the context, it sounds like he's just sitting around, minding his own business. But he is attentive to the Lord's presence, even when he's not necessarily actively thinking about what he can do for God. Another way to say that is, he's attentive to the Lord's presence, even when he's not in church. So he's sitting around, and an angel of the Lord says to him, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." It's a wilderness road, not some place that Philip is anxious to go. Nonetheless, he gets up from whatever it is he is doing and goes. He has no idea why he is doing it. He just senses the Lord has some purpose for this unexpected and probably undesired trip. Now, that is faith in action. So there's Philip walking down this wilderness road, and he sees this chariot sitting on the side of the road. And still having no idea why he is even on this road, Philip gets another prompting from the Spirit. "Go over to this chariot and join it." Now, he has no idea who is in it or why he is being prompted to go over to the chariot. There could be great danger awaiting for him in that chariot. But anyway, he goes. And as he approaches, he hears the eunuch reading from Isaiah 53:7-8, foretelling the trial, the passion, and execution of Jesus. So he asks the eunuch, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The eunuch replies that he needs guidance, and he invites Philip in to help him. So maybe by now a light has gone on in Philip's head. Maybe by now he begins to understand why he is even here in the first place, and he shares the entire Jesus story with the eunuch. The whole encounter becomes an unexpected evangelical opportunity, with the eunuch asking to be baptized. Yes, out of this nothingness that Philip had no idea where he was going, Philip has brought another person to Jesus. And then suddenly he finds himself in yet another place, Azotus, now on a preaching tour. Who knows what the possibilities are when we listen to God's call? All in all, this was a pretty surprising and productive day for someone who is just sitting around the house minding his own business. But just think about it. That entire event would not have happened if Philip had not paid attention to that still small voice in his ear. Have you ever had an experience like that? If so, you know how powerful, even life-changing, it can be. So the first step in following on Jesus' way is to pay attention to those little, usually unexpected promptings from God. Those little nudges that, unbeknownst to us, can lead to some pretty amazing outcomes. Just in this one story from Acts, Philip did it three times. God wants us to be attentive to the promptings of the Spirit, and God wants us to respond, even if that response is a little out of our comfort zone. And Philip was also productive. He helped to form and bring into the fold another Christian who is committed to following Jesus. And that is a lesson that carries over to our gospel passage as well. Excuse me. That God also wants our response to those promptings to be productive, to bear fruit. In this image, Jesus portrays his Father as the vine grower, himself as the vine, and us, his followers, as the branches. The image is particularly vibrant because it speaks of life. The branches can't have life without the vine, and the vine cannot be nurtured, even may I say pruned, without the careful attention of the vine grower. Some see a not so veiled threat from Jesus in verse 6. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And I'll bet when we hear that, our minds immediately flirt with hellfire. If we don't bear fruit, it means we'll be tossed out and burned and go to hell. But I see in Jesus' words a promise. The next line, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Notice there's no stasis here either. The beginning of that gospel passage, John notes that even the vines and the branches that are growing fruit, God still trims to make us produce more fruit, so we can never be self-satisfied with our accomplishments to date. God's always calling us to do a little bit more. As with Philip, if we're being attentive to God's promptings and mindful of who we are called to be as Christians, good things will happen naturally. The vine branch doesn't put make grapes on its annual to-do list. It just makes them, because that's what grapevines do. And it should be the same with us as Christians. When we are really connected to Jesus, we bear the fruit of Jesus. As individuals, the fruit of our ministry will not look like anyone else's. Only our unique gifts will bear the fruit of our relationship with Jesus. Likewise, St. James as a church will never bear the same fruit as Christ Church Cathedral in Hartford, or of National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., or for that matter, St. Peter's in Hebron. We can only live out the mission to which Jesus calls us, in our particular setting, with our particular gifts. Another aspect of this gospel imagery of the vine and branches is that it calls attention to the interconnectivity we have with each other and with other members of the wider community in Glastonbury and beyond, and even with other religious communities in Glastonbury and beyond. We are not asked to do this work alone. We should be asking ourselves, what are the Jesus vines to which we at St. James are connected? For starters, there are our own friends and neighbors in the Glastonbury community. There are plenty of people who don't know about Jesus, but may be curious, like the Ethiopian eunuch. There are certainly people in town who thirst for justice, but are unaware that we at St. James work to become Christ's beloved community. There are folks in Glastonbury who are hungry and need help getting nutritious food for their families. And here we can see an example of where our Christian vine intersects with other Christian vines, and even the vines of other faith traditions. You have read about our own Glastonbury Links Together organization, of which St. James is a leading part. This organization is a perfect example of how the vine supports many branches reaching out. Just yesterday, St. James was responsible for providing food to Hartford's homeless at Lunch in the Park in partnership with our cathedral. These are all fruit of the vine moments and opportunities. And they remind us that we, as part of the body of Christ in Glastonbury, are inextricably linked to our brothers and sisters throughout the Hartford area and beyond. We don't have to be a large church to have a big impact. And to have a big impact in God's economy. When God prompts us, it's a little reminder that we are part of the vine that connects all followers of Jesus, and that there is some particular fruit, perhaps yet unknown to us, that Jesus is asking us to bear. If we are attentive to God's promptings, wherever and however they appear, the fruit of our ministry will be good. Let us pray. God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit, which flows through us today and all days. Abide in us, that we may abide in you and live in your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen.